Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us and starting your weekend with us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville. Or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Ellard.
I feel like you've used Ellard a couple of times.
Maybe not. I don't know. It's impossible to keep Ellard. So I just do the best I can.
Ellard was the home of my grandfather's first coaching job.
So that's why you would know that if I've used it, because I probably
Ellard
have.
It's in Calhoun County.
Yes, it is.
My dad actually lived in Ellard for a little bit. Grew up around there for just a little bit. They ended up going to Brooksville, and I think Ellard was. I could be wrong. It might be Brooksville. I could have it wrong, but my dad was telling me the story the other day, and we're just gonna have to deviate out of this real quick.
It's fine.
His dad drove the school bus, and my dad was supposed to ride with someone home or something. He ended up going to the back of the school bus. He's like 4 or 5 years old and laying like underneath the seat and falling asleep. And my granddad's like carrying him around on his route, had no clue. It got to be like 7 p.m. and they have no idea where my dad is. And my grandmother is just hysterical, calling the cops. I don't know where. And my dad was in the back seat of the school bus, asleep. And I'm pretty sure that was in Ellard.
That's fantastic. I hope that's a great story. That's a great. Daddy,
he probably was just beat into oblivion by his dad after that, but
for falling asleep, it didn't really do anything. But
And my granddad was a very. He was a great man, but he was tough.
Yeah, spare the rod, spoil the child kind of guy.
He's about 5'8", and you did not mess with that son going.
That's crazy because your dad would have been taller than him, and like probably 15 or 16 years old, and you still probably didn't want to mess with him. So that's funny.
When my dad was probably 17, 18 years old, he was still getting a belt.
Yeah.
So there's a quick little story about Ellard for you.
There you go. Well, wherever you are in our great state, if you want to avoid taking a beating from Robbie's grandpa, you better get over to Strange.
Well, he's in heaven now, I assume.
He's still watching.
He's got his eyes on you. I think it's been a year or so since he passed away. So
what a legend.
He was something else, man. George Falk.
The man. StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com is the place to find everything you're looking for. If you're not in Starkville, if you're not in Tupelo, head over to StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com. Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Take your Valentine out for a nice steak next Friday. That's what you want to do. If you live in a town that has a steakhouse, just go eat there. Make Valentine's easy on yourself. This weekend's the Super Bowl. That's your Valentine's Day as a guy. That's your special day. You can have a steak on that day. Then 6 days later, you're having another steak because it's Valentine's Day and it's her special day. See how it works? In reality, you just got two special days because you got a steak both times. It's just simple mathematics.
Smart. That's actually the smart thinking.
I'm a smart man.
You are. When it comes to food, for sure. Oh,
yes, I am. Absolutely. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council.
You have one up on Forrest Gump. You are a smart man, and you also do know what love is.
What did Jennifer say to me last night? I forget what it was.
Get out of my face.
No, she was Okay. What else did she say? She was talking to the cat. One of the cats. She's talking to Groot. And I was like, that cat loves you. And she's like, does Groot know what love is? And I said, yes, he wants you to show him. And so
love you.
It's not like a Foreigner reference, you know.
You had to explain it to her.
She got it. She got it. I was
okay.
Then
after that, she was like, "I love him more than you."
She absolutely thinks that. Yes, no question. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. It's on sale. The maroon and white merchandise you're looking for is on sale. There are winter sales going on, up to 50% off. That's available online or in store. If you are doing it online, Your discounts will take place in the cart. Don't worry about it if you don't see it online. Get to the cart. Make your choice there. A lot of great stuff on sale this week at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant. Lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch, the best meal in town. Always at Restaurant Tyler. I was talking about some great steaks earlier. Well, guess what? You can easily find those at Restaurant Tyler. They have one of the best steaks in Starkville, maybe the best steak in Starkville. And just go there and grab one and enjoy a fantastic meal. There's a reason when Robbie and I have our pick'em, we always pick Restaurant Tyler to go to, because it's just the best place in town to grab a fantastic dinner. And you can do that too. Make your next trip to Restaurant Tyler soon. Where am I headed? Priority One Bank. Priority One Bank, 16 locations. I like went off the road there for a second.
We always go off the road.
I know. 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. They'll show you not only where they're located, they're going to show you how to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. Now, more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you deserve answers quickly. You can't afford to wait around. You can't afford to be on hold talking to people who don't know you from Adam. You need to talk to somebody at a bank that has a relationship with you, and you can get that level of service at Priority One Bank. 16 locations in Central Mississippi. If you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. A little later in the show, we're going to talk some basketball with Jordan Hill from Dogs 24/7. Covers the Georgia Bulldogs. That's a massive game for Mississippi State. And let's get right into that game. Would you go so far, Robbie, to say must win this weekend? I State's got to be 2-1 in the next three. But I was thinking about that. If you lose this game and now you've lost three in a row, the vibes are bad. I think State really needs to get this win this weekend.
It feels like it, yeah, for sure. Just when you consider the you know, there's not a whole lot of games left on the schedule that are, you know, these road games that you feel like you could steal, and you need to steal some road games in SEC play. State was able to get a couple of them. This one needs to be another one to continue to kind of strengthen that resume. But really, more so than anything, it's about wins. I've been saying that for weeks. I think the resume will take care of itself if you get to 8 wins in SEC play. So this gets you closer to 8 wins. You win this ball game, you're 3 wins away from securing. I think they're in good shape still for the NCAA tournament, but 8 wins, you are absolutely locked in on the NCAA tournament, and it's, you know, the seeding should be pretty good at that point. Getting to that magic number of 8 wins, this gets you closer to it. This gets you to 5. You're back on track. You get the bad taste out of your mouth from this past week and go from there. I do think it's a must win. I'm not saying the season's over or anything if they lose, but I feel like you really need to win this ball game. You're in a little bit of a slide here. You're not playing great basketball. You really need to get back on track and to start to feel good about yourself again, because the back half of the schedule has some really tough games as well. And you've got to find a way to try to get back in the fight here and get people back playing good basketball. I think, to me, it is a must win. Really feels that way.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think they win Saturday, and the next week, you know, it would sting to lose to Ole Miss. But if you beat Florida, I don't think anybody really cares, right? 1-1 next week, get this win, and you're like I said, that's at that point you've got 6 wins in conference. You still got a lot of winnable games. You could put some things together and be a 10-win team if things go right. I think the biggest problem, no, problem's not the right word. The thing that I want to see out of state is this. I want to see the team that played against South Carolina week one, Vanderbilt, to a certain degree, maybe like the first half against Ole Miss, the team we saw against Memphis, against Pitt, that team combined with the way Hubbard's played these last two games, which have both been losses, that team is a top 10 team. That team is a team that can win a lot of games in March. We haven't really seen it, though. We haven't seen State as a team play its best and Hubbard play his best at the same time. That's where they've got to come together. Jans addressed the media today. He said he liked what he had seen from his team in practice. Some concerns that there's been a bug going through, a flu bug or something happening. Hopefully they can shake that off by Saturday. But I have to think that those practices were not pleasant for Mississippi State, that Jans, after what happened last Saturday, had to tighten up on them just a little bit, you would think.
He had been talking about how he was going to address the team going into those practices. After the game against Missouri, you know, there was immediately a thought of, you know, how am I going to handle this? And it was probably a lot of tough love. It was, you know, knowing him, I mean, he is a very, very, very tough coach. And it was probably a lot of that. It was probably a lot of, you know, come to Jesus talks that the team got. And I'm very interested to see how they respond to this. This team's a lot different than what we've seen from Chris Jans' first 2 years. They don't really have as much of his identity as these last two teams. And those last two teams were offensively challenged, I would say.
What do you think that is?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know if it's just the different transfer portal players or what, but he went with more of an offensive identity in this transfer portal and in this class. And I think he chose when he was recruiting to kind of pull back the reins a little bit on trying to force, you know, those players to be something they weren't. But he definitely wanted them – I think he wants them to play a style of defense. And some of these guys maybe don't play like those last two teams did. And their identity has been maybe more score first. And he's had to adjust like that. And now they're not playing great offense. So you're not playing great offense and you're not playing great defense. That's an issue if you're Mississippi State. It's really frustrating because you got Josh Hubbard back on track now. And you're not getting anything from anybody else outside of Keyshawn Murphy. So this week was probably, you know, back to the fundamental basics of Chris Jans, you know, principles. We got to be playing good defense again. We cannot continue to give up 15 three-pointers in a game. Right. They're giving up 10 or more three-pointers in, I think, six of the last seven games. And they're losing almost all of them. So you've got to be able to get stops, and especially when you're not scoring the basketball, which they weren't scoring against Missouri, and that one got away from them quick. So the team identity has still got to be on the defensive end, and this team just doesn't have that this year. So it's probably – this week is probably Chris Jans going back to square one here with his staff and saying, we've got to build an identity – we've got to figure out a way to get stops, and we've got to change some things that we're doing to get there and hide maybe some of your deficiencies. I don't know what that's going to look like. I'm really interested to see it, but hopefully it's been a really big week. Unfortunately, you have this flu thing. And so a lot of guys have probably not been able to take part in practice. So that hurts. But like I said on the board earlier, wouldn't you much rather have a flu bug in the week where you don't have any games?
Right.
I mean, you don't get to choose it
by Saturday. Yeah.
I would rather not have it at all. But if you're going to have it, this is probably the time to have it.
So what's interesting about this game is that the problem State has had these past few weeks is their inability to stop the three ball, and Georgia is not a good 3-point shooting team, shooting just over 32%. From behind the arc. They just don't have a lot of guys that they can trust from back there. They're also, when you look at their team, Asa Newell is really the team. In conference play now, he has been their leading scorer in every game except for one. So if State can neutralize him to whatever degree, it makes it really, really tough for Georgia to win any basketball games. He's just, I'm not saying he's a one-man team. They have some other scorers. But when he's not playing well, you know, I don't know what they can do. And even in their losses, he's their leading scorer. So I don't know if you just come at it from a point of, hey, he'll get his. If we shut everybody else down, we're great. Or it's like, if we can shut him down, the rest of these guys can't step up and carry this team. I don't know what the answer is there, but I do know that if we look up and Asa Newell in the final minutes of the game is sitting there and he's only got like 12, 13 points, that's going to bode really well for Mississippi State. And he is a guy physically that I feel like Cam Matthews matches up really well with.
And this is the game where State's defense, what they do defensively, it should be effective. You know, this might be a game where they can run what they want to do defensively and have some success. Georgia is 13th in the league in three-point percentage. You look at the other teams that State succeeded against this year, South Carolina and Vanderbilt, they were 11th and 12th. I thought State looked like Mississippi State defensively in those games. South Carolina's not a good team. But State defensively was really good, I thought, in that ball game. And I thought State played a really good style of defense against Vanderbilt too. So this is a game where I could see State bouncing back defensively. It's these teams that, you know, they've had to play at the top: Kentucky, Missouri, Auburn, Ole Miss, Tennessee. That's your top. That's five of the top seven in 3-point shooting, and they lit Mississippi State up. And you know, you still got to play Texas, who's in the top five. You got to play Oklahoma, who's a number three team. Those are the teams where State really struggles. And a lot of it is doubling the post. Because State, I think, is a pretty darn good low post defensive team.
Yeah, I agree.
They've shown that. And I think a lot of that is doubling the post and kicking it out and finding wide open shooters. I think that to me seems like a big issue for Mississippi State. This is a game where I think State can do that. And you're probably not going to be as upset unless Georgia just goes through a, you know, an otherworldly day shooting, which is possible too. We've seen that before with teams that can't really shoot. So it's still going to be a challenge. State's got to be really efficient on the offensive side. This might be a game where I would try to get as many possessions as possible. Maybe pick up the pace offensively like we had talked about, which I thought they should have done against South Carolina. I think you can afford to do that against Georgia. Pick up the pace offensively. Try to get quick possessions. Try to get as many possessions as you can, because I don't think that you're going to be in a three-point shootout here with Georgia where you have to be super efficient on the offensive side. You've had to been really efficient against these teams that have been effective offensively: Alabama, Kentucky, Ole Miss. This is a game where, you know, if I'm State, I'm running a little bit and I'm trying to get as many possessions as I can.
Yeah.
Because you can afford to have mistakes in games, I feel like this.
And Georgia's just not a great scoring team. They win with defense. When you look at them offensively, they scored 81 last night as we're recording against LSU. Prior to that, they scored 69, 71, 59, 65, 68, 56. I mean, they're just not a great scoring team. Every team in the conference we've talked about it this year, they had this stretch where they just play these ridiculous schedules. This is the start for Georgia. This is Georgia's next five games, Robbie. They host State. They're at A&M. They host Missouri. They're at Auburn. They host Florida. That's their next five games. This is an absolute must-win game for Georgia. They will be – I said it on the show, I'm glad they won on Wednesday, because if they had lost to LSU, they would have been in absolute desperation mode. They still kind of are, because if you're talking about you want to get seven SEC wins, they have four. They still have another game with South Carolina, so that can maybe get them to five, but they got to find two more wins. This is a good opportunity for them. It's kind of funny, too. It's a quad one game for State. Georgia's 32nd in the net. At tip-off, it's a quad one game it should be a quad one game for Georgia. State's 30th. But if Georgia wins, it won't be a quad one win for them. So that's kind of it sucks for Georgia, but, you know, it is what it is. This is must win for Georgia. For State, I don't know that it's must win, but you'd feel a heck of a lot better about your chances going in. I mean, next week's going to be really tough. Florida at home and then at Ole Miss. Ole Miss playing good basketball right now. You got to feel like the pavilion's going to be – I feel pretty confident in saying that'll be a hostile environment for Mississippi State. So getting
a lot of middle fingers, I imagine, coming from the team.
Maybe one or two. Yes, this is a big opportunity for Mississippi State to get a quad one road win. Road wins have been tough to come by for everybody in the conference this year. And Georgia's been really good at home. You look at their home schedule, the only game they lost at home is to Auburn, and they lost by two. So that's the number one team in the nation. They beat Kentucky. They beat Oklahoma. They beat LSU. They beat South Carolina at home. So they've defended their home court pretty well. This will be an interesting game for Mississippi State. They got to find a way to get this win on Saturday. Let's talk a little bit more about that. Let's move into the interview I did earlier today with Jordan Hill. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. When you want to have a fantastic meal, it's not hard to do in Starkville. There's a lot of great places, but few are better than Two Brothers Smoked Meats. I love going there. Robbie does too. And we've turned so many people onto it through the years. You know, it's funny. We talk to all our friends who have come and gone on this beat, and they're always like, man, I miss Two Brothers. I miss going to Two Bros. And all those guys left before the older brother got up and running. So if they could have been missing that one too. I don't have to miss it. Neither does Robbie. Neither do you. Next time you're in Starkville, Two Brothers Smoked Meats, the older brother, head to the Cotton District and grab a great meal. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50?
50. When you need
50.
When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. Any kind of copier, printer, computer, laptop, anything like that, give them a call. Then if you need service, it's the same number. It's the same people. They'll take care of you 100%. And because they're in Mississippi like you, a lot of times your problems are only going to last a few hours. They'll get there, they'll fix it, and you can move on with your business. You can't afford to wait around. That's why you need to talk to somebody at Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Next time you're in Starkville, if you're here for a game, if you're here for whatever, you always, whenever you come to Starkville, if you're a Mississippi State fan, you know you're always looking to get some new gear. You want to see what the new polos, the new pullovers look like. The place to go is Maroon & Co. They have the biggest and best selection. They got stuff you can't get anywhere else. I know there are a lot of places in town that sell Mississippi State apparel. Nobody better at it than Maroon & Co., and they have been since day one. And the best part of all is we can save you a little coin. When you go into the store or when you shop online, use the promo code THUNDER15. You'll save 15% off all regular price items. Some exclusions do apply. Whatever you're looking for in Mississippi State, when you're in Starkville, make a trip to Maroon & Co. All right, earlier today I talked to Jordan Hill. We've had him on the podcast many times before. Talk about the Georgia Bulldogs, get his perspective on this weekend's game. Let's go now to my interview with Jordan Hill from Dogs 24/7. Really big game for both sets of Bulldogs this weekend. Jordan Hill, Dogs 24/7. Love the background. I was telling him before the start, normally I get a guy, he's in his bedroom, his laundry's hanging everywhere. I got real professional stuff right here. I appreciate that. Georgia is an interesting team. They started off conference play 2-1. They got that big win over Kentucky to start off, and you're like, okay, maybe Mike White's going to get something going there. And then it's just kind of, I don't know if falling apart's the right word, but they lose, you know, five of their next six. Their only two wins since that 2-1 start are against the two teams we would probably say are the worst teams, right? South Carolina and LSU. They did bounce back last night with a win against LSU as we're recording. Jordan, what is this Georgia team? You know, they got off to that good start, but since then it hasn't been that way. Is it just that they have a fatal flaw? Is it just not enough talent? What's the deal with this Georgia team?
Well, I think, honestly, Brian, they've kind of fallen to where, you know, their talent level is. You know, when we look at the games they've lost and the skid they've had after starting 2-1, there's really only one game that I could point to and say that they should have won that game, and it was at Arkansas, which we know this Arkansas team isn't as good as years past, but it was in Fayetteville. It's still, I think, the last I saw, it was a quad one game. It wasn't necessarily like just,
every,
oh my gosh.
Every game in this conference is a quad one game.
Except for South Carolina, it
Yeah, that's
seems
it.
like. But no, I mean, it's a team that doesn't shoot particularly well, and I think you've seen that in some of the games. 30-point loss to Florida, the 21-point loss to Alabama in Tuscaloosa. I think this is a team that, it's got a big test with what is left on the schedule, but they're still very much in this NCAA tournament hunt. They're a team that plays great defense. I think they've finally gotten a handle on limiting turnovers. I'd say that's been one of their fatal flaws is in some of these games, that Florida game particularly. I mean, they turned the ball more, turned the ball over more in that first half, had more turnovers in the first half than Florida had missed shots. And that was just like the summation of that first half. But it's still a talented team. It's still, miles ahead of where the program was before Mike White took over. But they've got big games ahead, like you said, Brian. I think this one on Saturday against Mississippi State is probably the biggest one left on the schedule.
I really agree with that, especially when you look at what follows. And everybody in the SEC has a stretch like this, but for Georgia, they host State on Saturday. Then they're at Texas A&M. Then they host Missouri. Then they're at the number one team in the nation, Auburn. And then they play Florida at home. They're one of the teams that you talk about the conference sort of messing with you. Having to get Auburn and Florida twice is not a pleasant thing for Georgia. So this kind of does feel must winish. I think it's for State as well, but for Georgia, they really need to get another win or two. I think 7 wins is going to get you in, but that's going to be a test if they don't get a win this weekend.
Totally agree that I think you have to hit 7. I think you feel a lot better if you have 8, but 7, and maybe win a game or two in Nashville at the tournament would help. But yeah, to me, you look at 2 Saturdays upcoming, the Mississippi State game at home and then the Missouri game at home. I think you need at least one of those just with what Georgia has left, and neither one of those are going to be easy. I mean, Missouri push Tennessee on Wednesday night, and yeah, I mean, I think that the one thing I would say with this Georgia team, and especially when you look at the games coming up, they have played really well at home. They're 13-1 at home. The one loss to the number one team in the country, Auburn, by 2 points. So you can't really ask for much more than that at home. But they've just got to carry on what I carry over what was a really impressive performance against LSU. Brian, I have never seen this before. In that LSU game, LSU's first 27 points in the game, all via three-pointers. They
Oh,
hit
wow.
9. I don't know if I've ever seen that, but even as they were hitting those shots, they were tied with Georgia, down 3 to Georgia. It was like, okay, look, LSU's played just about as good as they can, and they haven't taken full advantage. Georgia didn't panic, took care of business in the second half, and yeah, I mean, again, I think the fact this game is at home is really a big benefit for Georgia. Now, I am interested with Mississippi State not having that midweek, how big of a benefit that will be for they have to go on the road and play in Stegman Coliseum.
And you look at last week with State, they played an emotional game against Alabama. They drop it in the final seconds. Missouri had the week off. They come to Starkville fresh and just absolutely battered State last Saturday. So State's going to be looking to duplicate that performance. One of the things that stands out about this Georgia team when you look at the ESPN schedule page, Georgia in conference play, Asa Newell has led this team in points in every conference game except for one. State has been able to win games this year when their top guy, Hubbard, has struggled to get going. If Georgia can't get Newell going, can Georgia win?
I don't think so. I think it's as simple as you got to get Asa Newell going. And the thing that's really interesting, and it happened again last night against LSU, Asa Newell sometimes will just have the quietest 15, 16, 17-point night. I think he ended up with 17 last night. I mean, he just takes care of business. He finishes at the rim. He's really been taking advantage of and one opportunities, and he's a guy that just very quiet confidence. He's a guy that when we've talked to him, he's been one of the I would say one of the team spokesmen this year, and he's a freshman, and he's really lived up to the moment. He hasn't always played great, which you expected in some of these battles against teams like Florida and Alabama, but yeah, I mean, I think it all starts with getting him going, and they had a fantastic showing against LSU, the bigs. Asa Newell, RJ Godfrey as well, the Clemson transfer. They played really well. Georgia came down with 47 rebounds. Now it's going to be a lot tougher against Mississippi State, but I think that was a big boost to have that performance. But yeah, I mean, to me, it starts and stops with Asa Newell. If they are able to to really affect his game if he is missing shots early. I think that bodes really well for Mississippi State.
If you've watched State this year, you know they have a fatal flaw. They can't defend the three for whatever reason. Kentucky, Alabama, Missouri all put up 15 plus threes on them. Ole Miss was in double digits. Is this Georgia team built to take advantage of that? And can they be a team that hits double digit three pointers in a game?
I would be shocked, Brian. That has been one of the real struggles for Georgia this year, has been shooting the three ball. It's just not been a strength. And even in the games they played well, I mean, it's not been something they've gone to a lot. And I think that, when you look at like the LSU game and the South Carolina game last week, I think that they've come to terms with, we kind of have to pick and choose our battles with the three-point shooting. And, I thought that they showed real maturity in that LSU game of not deciding, oh, well, they're shooting three, so we got to go heavy on the three-point shot. They really didn't. They had Silas Demery Jr. hit some. Asa hit one in the second half. But no, I mean, other than really just, this is not a really good shooting team on the whole, but especially from three-point range, it's been a struggle. So I think that they've done a really good job of not forcing those shots. And yeah, I'd be very surprised if you saw them lean really heavily on the three-point shot to try to beat this Mississippi State team.
Obviously, this game's a quad one for Mississippi State. It is technically a quad one for Georgia, but State is 30th in the net. So if Georgia wins, it actually drops them. It'll probably drop down and be a quad two win. If you think about the way that Georgia finishes this season, and if as much as the schedule can break for you, it does for Georgia. The last three games at Texas, at South Carolina, they host Vanderbilt. Those are three teams that you wouldn't say are unwinnable games for Georgia. We talked about it at the beginning, but we'll come back to it here. Georgia has to win this basketball game. I don't know if State has to win. I think State has to be 2-1 in their next three. Their next three are this game, they host Florida, then they're at Ole Miss. They got to find two wins in there. I don't know. What is the Georgia prognosis for the season if they get this win, and what happens if they don't?
I think it puts them in really good position when it comes to this NCAA tournament race. I mean, when we look at what's left of the regular season schedule, I think the biggest thing is take care of play at home and then try to maybe steal one or two games on the road. I mean, the one on the road, I think you can feel really good about at South Carolina, the second to last regular season game. But, even going to Texas, that's going to be tough. You look at the home games left, none of them are gimmies. But I think really, other than the Florida game on February 25th, I think they are all winnable games because they are in Athens. So, I've said that Georgia needs to get to at least seven conference wins. They're three away from that right now. You feel a lot better if you can get four wins on what's left. I think it's on the table. I think it's definitely possible, but this team just has to, continue playing well, try to build off this LSU game. And to me, more than anything, it starts on offense. Their defense, even when they've had poor overall games, the defense has been there. And then when these games have gotten out of hand, it just sort of felt like defense held and held, and then eventually the dam just busted. I think the defense will be there. They just need guys. Really, you can count on Asa Newell. They need some other guys to step up around him and consistently deliver the points to keep up with some of the best teams in the SEC.
Really feels like a matchup between two opposite kind of teams with the way they play and the way they're constructed. So it should be a very interesting game on Saturday. And like I said, I think both teams are kind of in must-win mode for this one. So it should be a lot of fun there. Is it still Stegman? They changed the names of these arenas so much. Is it still Stegman Coliseum?
Still Stegman.
Got it right the other day. All right, I'm excited.
They got the ceiling blacked out now. They're trying to make it look all giving
Got
it
that weird
some.
court too. Isn't it gray?
Well, they've got the new the new logo with the state of Georgia
That's
and the
right.
bulldog
Yeah.
on it. So
Yeah. Just
I
massive.
do think, and I think the TV, the lighting makes it look a little worse than it does in person. I'm a fan of it, but on TV, I don't think you don't quite get the look of when you're actually in there.
That's a massive logo. I remember that now that you mentioned it. It's like it takes up three quarters of the court. We'll see what happens. Jordan Hill, Dogs 24/7, man. I always appreciate you coming on with us. Thanks to Jordan. Appreciate him. I hit the stop recording like right as he was saying thank you. I felt bad about that. I was like, ah, my bad. My bad, guy.
You got to let it roll.
I was like hovering over it. I was like, all right, as soon as he gets done. And then I had like a spasm or something. Like, eh. So whatever. It's fine. I
Shame.
apologized.
For shame.
I know. I know. All right. So that's obviously the biggest sporting event of the weekend, Mississippi State, Georgia, Robbie. There's a one more football game to be played, though. Chiefs versus Eagles. I want the official Robbie Faulk prediction.
Oh, I cannot count out Kansas City right now. A team that has won this many one-score games the way that they have, they know how to win it, man. They've had one loss in one-score games, and I think they've had 13 maybe one-score games this year. Just truly remarkable. Like I said before, you just don't see that. You don't – in the NFL where teams aren't necessarily even, but the floor is significantly higher than what you see in other levels of football, there's good players on every team. If you're in a one-score game, you're going to have some upsets, you're going to have some losses. This team just doesn't lose. They win those games. So I think it's going to be close. I feel like the Eagles are the more well-rounded team, it feels like. Mm-hmm. But Kansas City has just got the mojo, man. And they got a good coach. You know, they have obviously a lot of luck on their side to be able to do this. You can't do this without some of it. So I'm going with Kansas City. This will be a three-peat for them, my prediction.
I just can't get away from the Chiefs. It's kind of – Mahomes has entered the same territory that Brady was, right? Like, I would never bet against Brady in these games. I know he lost, what, three Super Bowls, but I would
– Two to Eli Manning.
Yeah. I would never, ever go into the game saying I think he's going to lose. So that's where Mahomes is for me right now. I agree. I think he gets his Super Bowl. That means three Super Bowls for Chris Jones as well. Four Super Bowls for Chris Jones and four for Mahomes. You know, it's a dynasty, and you know, if you're not on the inside, if you're not a fan of the team that's the dynasty, it's tough. And Robbie and I are, you know, we're Lakers fans. Robbie's a Yankees fan, so we understand some of that. Like, you know, I understand that, you know, when you're not the team that's winning all the time, nobody likes you. I respect the Chiefs. You know, I think that's a good team. They're full of good players. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win. So, final score, I think we'll get a good game out of it at least. 34-28 final score.
Okay. So. I can get on board with that. It's going to be a one-score game again, I believe.
And then – so that game ends around 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock on Sunday. And hopefully Kellen Moore hired in New Orleans by 9 a.m. on Monday.
You are on board with Kellen Moore.
He was the best of – I wanted Joe Brady. That was the guy I wanted.
That would have been a great fit.
He's the one, you know, like McCarthy said he wasn't interested. It's because the Saints weren't interested, right? A couple other guys were like, I'm pulling my name out. The Saints weren't hiring him. Brady, they wanted, and he was just like not interested. And that hurt a little because I was like, yeah, it's a guy who'd been at LSU and he'd coached with Sean Payton. I thought he would, you know, want to come back and make it happen. I've talked myself into something else too with the Saints. All right. Stay with me here. So, Moore's had a great offense this year, but obviously Saquon Barkley has been a huge piece of that, right? Elite running back. Saints pick at 9. Take Jeanty. Take Jeanty and see if you can do with him what they've done. And then you have Kamara, too. So you got a good piece there, but take the elite running back. Carr on the books, you can't go quarterback where they pick at 9. You're not taking, you know, you hope maybe Jackson Dart's there at 40. When you come around in the second round.
Yeah, if you can get him in the second round, that'd be good.
Right. Take the running back. Take an elite playmaker and see what you can do with it. I've talked myself into that. I don't know if it'll happen or not, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well,
all right.
I'm stuck in Hades. I'm stuck in purgatory.
Hey, y'all go
9 wins.
Yeah, 11-6 next year. Finish second in the division.
9 or 10 wins. Get first round exit in the playoffs. That is the – I'm – people talk about like, oh, I'm following the front runners or whatever. These teams are not front runners anymore. The teams that I cheer for are not front runners.
Lakers are.
The Lakers are getting there. We'll see.
Getting there. Getting
there. We'll see. The Yankees have not been truly relevant in a long time. Like they went to the World Series this year, but this is the first World Series I think they've played in like 15 years.
I wonder how much
the Steelers are just happy to not have a losing season every year. So I don't know why everybody thinks that I'm just having the time of my life when I also have to watch Mississippi State sports every single week. I don't get it.
Let it out, brother.
I'm constantly stressed.
It's gonna be okay.
Now,
Do you get
I'm
it all
good.
out? You get it all out there?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. I'm trying to find. I'm pretty sure this is correct. We should go to Dallas April 9th for Lakers at Mavericks. I wonder how much tickets to that game will be.
Do they ever come to do they come to Memphis?
No, I want to go see the. I want to see Lakers at Mavericks. I want to see
Oh,
Luka
you just
Dallas.
want to say the Mavs.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if I looked. The Lakers have already. They do not have another game in New Orleans. I haven't checked to see on the Grizzlies yet. That might be an idea, though. We could do that. We'll talk about it. All right, guys. Have a great Super Bowl weekend, Robbie. And I'll be back with you on Monday, wrapping up everything that happens Mississippi State sports. And next week, start of baseball. A lot to talk about here on the podcast. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Mississippi Media Production.